Welcome to Faith Point, the podcast ministry of First Southern Baptist Church of Prescott Valley, with Senior Pastor Terrell Eldrith. Our goal is to allow our faith to intersect with real life. So let's join Pastor Terrell today as he shares with us from God's Word.
Hey, I'm Eddie Pearson. I work for our Arizona Southern Baptist Convention, our Arizona Southern Baptist Mission Network, and I'm the Church Life Team Facilitator. That's the short title. That's it. I help church life. That's what I do. They put this big title up there. I go, you know, I help strengthen churches. That's what I do. So we need to ask ourselves, where will we be in 10 years from now? Think about that. Where will this church be in 10 years? If you could look in the future, where are we going to be? So we help churches think over the next 10 years. So that's kind of a snippet of what I do. I live in Tucson, Arizona. And man, it's a trip up here, you know, especially with the traffic, you know. People cannot drive on the 17. I know all of you can, but wow, I'm going, come on, man, come on. Hey, well, I know Christmas is over, but I will say Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. And we can take that slide off right now if you want. We don't have to put that up just yet. Okay, we'll get to that slide. I think it's in your notes as well. All right, so I got a baseball bat. Don't freak out or anything. Hey, this is actually a Roger Maris Louisville slugger. If you know Roger Maris, home run king, right? Back in the day for the Yanks. And this is actually an official Roger Maris bat, which is pretty cool. Somebody just left it. Sitting in an office complex for like 10 years, I said, you know, I think it's mine now. Nobody wants this. They said, take it. I said, all right. So I thought I will use this as a prop right here. I just learned that yesterday that The D-backs scored a really good pitcher, right? We're coming back. We're going to do well this year, right? My son called me. He was so excited, you know. Dad, this is what happened. All right. So we're excited about baseball season. But one thing I've noticed about baseball players is they typically go into slumps, right? Especially the good hitters. Even Maris had a slump time at one time. One of the largest was Chris Davis of the Orioles. Baltimore's team, he had a 54-game slump. Think about that. You're up to bat four times a game, maybe five, over 200 times. This man did not get a hit. That's terrible. Remember, they put him in minor leagues. Anyway, he's out of baseball after a few years, after a huge contract, unfortunately. But slumps happen. And when he finally got a hit, he was in an opposing stadium. And the opposing crowd stood up and cheered him. They were so excited for him that he got a hit. That would have been the Boston Red Sox. I remember that. So who else had a slump? Willie Mays had a slump. Mickey Mantle had a slump. David Ortiz, Buster Posey, even Aaron Judge had a slump, right, for the Yankees during the World Series, right? He was slumping all season, that poor guy. One of my favorite authors is Lenny Lucchetti, and he had a slump. He was playing in Little League. He was batting third, and he slumped. Coach placed him in seventh in the batting order. He was all excited. The big game's coming up. He's walking home, and overhead there were pigeons, and pigeons just dive-bombed him. And what do pigeons do? They poo all over you, all over this poor kid's head. He goes home with green hair, green pigeon poo. His mom says, got him in the shower. They scrub his scalp clean, and everything gets all clean. And then mom said what only moms say, and if you're a mom, you know, or if you've had a mom, you know, this is what mom said. Lenny, I'm telling you, it's good luck. It's always good luck when pigeons poo on you. You're going to do well tonight. So he goes up to bat. He goes up to bat. I don't want to break anything. He goes up to bat. Bases are loaded, and he's telling a story to us. Bases are loaded. He gets up. He closes his eyes. Here comes the pitch. He swings. It's a home run. They win the game, right? Which is pretty cool. So he's the hero. And I wrote this down. To this day when he's walking, he lives in Indiana, to this day when he walks, he always looks for pigeons and he walks under them. Because he knows it's good luck, right? But we all slump. King David, you'll have your notes there of Psalm 101. King David wrote this psalm when he was being coronated as the king. He was about 30 years of age, right? He became king of Israel. And King David is he's what we would call a spiritual slugger. Those of you that are Bible readers, you know King David. The man is a spiritual slugger. As a shepherd, 1 Samuel is very clear in the Bible that he protected his family's sheep, but he also killed a lion when a lion attacked the sheep, and he killed the bear when the bear attacked the sheep. This is as a teenager, right? He's a slugger growing up. He grows a little bit more, and then he faced off with Goliath of Gath. And they estimate Goliath is about 9 feet tall, a little over 9 feet. His body armor was 125 pounds, and the spear that he carried was 15 pounds. His body armament weighed more than King David. King David slew him with a stone. The man is a spiritual slugger, right? 2 Samuel 23:1, it says this, the last words of David, the declaration of David, the son of David, the declaration of the man raised on high, the one anointed by God, the favorite singer of Israel. This man can write. We believe he wrote 73 of the Psalms. I don't know why I'm getting a little misty, you know? Sometimes she just shows up. I don't know why. It is what it is. He wrote about 73 Psalms. And you know him. Who doesn't know Psalm 23, right? In fact, my neighbor lady is 97. She said, she's from Vienna. Hey, what are you doing? Sonia, what are you doing in Vienna? Or what are you doing in Tucson? She goes, I live here. She's from Vienna. I go, why do you live here? She goes, the Nazis. I go, what do you mean the Nazis? You remember after World War II, the Allies went and bombed Vienna because that's where all the Nazis went and hid. Well, that's where she lived. And so as a little girl. She lost her family. Except her auntie. They escaped. And anyway, they ended up here in the States. They immigrated. And she's my neighbor. I'm saying that. He says, I'm going to die. And I want you to do my service. You read Psalm 23. I said, hey, that's King David's Psalm. I know. I read. She's 97. Hey, she has jet red hair. She has red fingernails. She's immaculately dressed, and she drives a red car. She's cool. All right? David is a warrior. He's a spiritual slugger. He led the nation of Israel. However, King David is human. Those of you that are Bible readers and you read on, you see that he was supposed to go out to war and lead his troops, right? Fighting the Amalekites. He didn't go. For some reason, he stayed. He stayed at home. He was in the palace. He was on the palace roof. And guess what he saw? He saw a beautiful woman bathing. He said, she looks good. I think I want her. He took her. He slept with her. She got pregnant. And then he goes, what am I going to do? This is a spiritual slugger, right? But he started slumping. He said, well, here's what I'm going to do. He knew her husband. He's one of the mighty men. Uriah the Hittite. He had him killed, right? And then they got married. She had the baby, and the baby died. This is a spiritual slugger. You can be a spiritual slugger, and you can wane. You can go into a slump. King David went into a slump. And then he penned Psalm 51. Let me just read a portion of this. He penned Psalm 51, which is really telling here. He said, be gracious to me, O God, according to your faithful love, according to your abundant compassion. Blot out my rebellion. Completely wash away my guilt. Cleanse me from my sin. I'm conscious of my rebellion. My sin is always before me. Against you and you alone I've sinned. I've done evil in your sight. You're right when you pass sentence on me. In verse 10, Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Don't banish me from your presence. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. And he goes on in Psalm 51. And so this spiritual slugger slumped, and then he came back. And he came back with repentance, with forgiveness. How do you come back? Those of you that have been spiritual sluggers for years, how do you come back to the Lord? And so that's what this psalm is about. Psalm 101 it just intrigues me because he wrote this probably when he was 30. Now he's an older man when he writes Psalm 51. So Psalm 101 is like a recalibration psalm. He goes back to it just to kind of get recalibrated because he realized I've slumped. Now I got to come back. So what am I going to do? So he starts to read this. So you have this. I think you have this. You have your notes. But go ahead and read this. Just read it with me, please. And as you read, notice the I wills and the I will not. And for those of you that like to count, you can count how many I wills there are. Okay? Just if you like that. Verse 1, just read with me. I will sing of your love and justice to you, Lord. I will sing praise. I will be careful to lead a blameless life. When will you come to me? I will conduct the affairs of my house with a blameless heart. I will not look with approval on anything that is vile. I hate what faithless people do. I will have no part. Remember, he's writing this when he's about 30, okay? So he's getting recalibrated. Verse 4. The perverse of heart shall be far from me. I will have nothing to do with what is evil. Whoever slanders their neighbor in secret, I will put to silence. Whoever has haughty eyes and a proud heart, I will not tolerate. My eyes will be on the faithful in the land, that they may dwell with me. The one who is blameless will minister to me. Verse 7, no one who practices deceit will dwell in my house. No one who speaks falsely will stand in my presence. Every morning I will put to silence all the wicked of the land. I will cut off every evildoer from the city of the Lord. Let me pray. Father, we pray for the reading of your word here. Speak to us in the way that only you can. Each of us is unique, and you deal with each of us where we're at today. So do that today, Lord, including me. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Well, David, decisions. As you look at Psalm 101, his decisions were, they helped to guard his head and his heart and his house. Notice in verse 1, it says, I will sing of faithful love and justice. I will sing praise to you. This is the singer of Israel. Wrote about 73 Psalms, we believe. And, I married my wife, Kim. Met her at the University of Arizona. Go Cats. Met her down at U of A, and we got married. And what I didn't know, I knew she could sing, her family sings. My wife, this girl, she wakes up, she sings. She's singing, you know. She like cooks, she sings. She cleans, she sings. She changes diapers, she's singing. How do you do that, you know? She's a singing lady, you know. She sings. And I just like that. But I will sing of your love and your justice to you. And her family, they have like a quartet, and she grew up singing, right? Singing in church and stuff. And so it's good to sing. David sings. He says, I will sing. Do you sing? You know, you don't want to hear me sing. I'm kind of tone deaf, right? But I'm perfect with the radio. Like when I'm driving home, I can jam. I can sing, right? We can all do that. But sing. What do you sing? You know? I pick out some of these psalms. Wasilla Bible Church, I don't think I have that in your notes, but Wasilla Bible Church, they actually have all the psalms. They put it to music. It's pretty cool. So Wasilla, if you want to Google that, you can check that out right there. But they help guide his heart, his house, and his kingdom. He says, I will lead a blameless life. When will you come to me? I will conduct the affairs of my house with a blameless heart. The perverse in heart will be far from me. Whoever slanders their neighbor in secret, I'll put to silence. David really wants his decisions to guide his heart, his house, and his kingdom. And notice also in verses 6, 7, and 8 there on your sheet, David wants to run a just kingdom. My eyes are on the faithful of the land, he says. No one who practices deceit will dwell in my house. Every morning I'll put to silence. You've got to have if you're going to run a kingdom, you got to have justice, right? I mean, that's kind of the big thing going around the world right now. Can you speak truth? And we're dealing with that as a world, not just as a nation, but as a world. But David saw this even back in biblical times. He said, we've got to have a faithful land. We've got to have faithful people. How do we do this? Well, we're going to serve the Lord. It's what we're going to do. So David worked hard to build trust, even though he did slump. He did work hard to build his trust. And so this leads me, I want to share with you this. Now you can put up the trust triangle, guys. Hey, I think you've got this in your notes. And listen, you're not going to find the trust triangle in the Bible or anything. You'll find this in the Harvard Business Review, by the way. All right, I like to read that. Not everybody at Harvard plagiarizes, okay? They did not. This actually came about as they did a research project with what company was crashing? Uber. Uber was tanking during the pandemic. And they could not figure out, what are we doing? So these professors came in, these two female professors came in, and they helped Uber save their company. Uber is good. Anybody Uber? I like to Uber. You know, it's a good way to get around. I like Uber better than other forms of transportation. However, there are some biblical principles that we can learn from this trust triangle. So it is good research, okay? And let me just walk you through this real quick. You can see it in your notes, but hopefully you can see it up there as well. If you're going to trust somebody, if you're going to trust anybody, your husband, your wife, your teacher, your boss, your neighbor, if you're going to trust your friend, if you're going to trust, you have to have these three drivers right here: authenticity, logic, and empathy. Because when trust is lost, it's actually, you can go back and you can see a breakdown in one of these. In other words, do I believe you are who you say you are? Are you authentic? Is what I see what I get? Is this the real you? Does that make sense? Is this really you, or are you just putting on a show? Is this really you? Are you authentic? And then logic, you could say competence here also. I know you can do it. Your reasoning and your judgment are sound. You're competent. I believe you know what you know. You're not only who you say you are, but you know what you know. You're not just putting on a show. You're not just jabbering to the wind, you know. I have some friends, they know everything about everything. I go, how do you know that? How do you know that? I mean, I have a friend, he knows that if you eat black licorice, this is what black licorice will do to you. This is how it's going to go. How do you know that? Come on. You know, he's always messing with me. That authenticity, are you who you say you are? Do you know what you know? Is your reasoning sound? And do you really care? Do you care? Empathy, I believe you care about me and my success. When you have those three things in your life, you can earn someone's trust. We will trust you. Husbands must trust their wives. Wives must trust their husbands, right? I want to trust my kids. Over Christmas, I have a large family. I come from a large clan, you know, and I know some brothers that are going to come in, and I'm thinking, yeah, definitely authentic, definitely knows his stuff, but man, this brother, he does not care. You know, you care about yourself. You don't care about us. Is this making sense? Trust triangle. How can you trust? But here's the deal with the trust triangle. Trust wobbles. It wobbles. People will wobble in one of these. And typically the one you wobble in is the one you wobble in pretty much for your life. Okay? You can always go back and say, man, what is going on here? Are you who you claim to be? Do you know what you know? Is your reasoning sound? And do you really care? Right? And when somebody gets mad at you, or you get mad at somebody, there's usually a wobble in the trust. Right? There's a wobble. And you got to firm up that trust. And so if I know that somebody in my circle, if I have lost trust, I'm going to say, what did I do? Well, you did this. I said, oh, you're right. You're right. I did say I knew that, but you know what? I didn't. I didn't show really good sound judgment there. I apologize. I will do better. And guess what? It firms back up. We have trust, and our friendship keeps moving forward. Does that make sense? I mean, you can read a book on it, too. I'm just giving you an overview. All right? If this interests you, you can check it out. So identify your wobble in a relationship. Work on strengthening that area. And so the key is David wobbled. He showed poor judgment. Even though he wrote Psalm 101, he came right back and he wrote Psalm 59, and the people knew it. And those of you that are Bible readers, you know that actually Nathan, the prophet, came and talked to him and just said, hey, buddy, you are not authentic. You showed poor judgment. He wobbled big time. And do you really care? You had a man killed, you know? He completely broke trust. So you can see how that scripture fits in here, all right? So I put 5 steps to recovering lost. You got to admit the mistake and confess. King David did, and he wrote Psalm 51. Acknowledge your responsibility. Take responsibility for the blunder. Own the mistake. You just got to man up, right? You got to woman up and say, hey, I goofed, man. I dropped the ball. I am so sorry, right? I'm counseling a young guy right now, and I just had to tell him, you know, you just got to tell your wife you're sorry. Go apologize. Do it now. Go. Get out of here. Go. And I'm praying he does that. He would be wise to do that. I don't need to. Yeah, you do. You need to do it now because you love her. You want to heal that relationship. Apologize. Seek that forgiveness. Look at number 4. Accept. You must accept the consequences for your actions. There's still consequences, you know. Goodness, King David, wow. Trust was lacking, right? His child died. I mean, there are consequences to the decisions that you make. Act to correct the situation. Act and just make it right. Make it right. So this Psalm 101 helped him recalibrate his walk with God. And so he wrote this declaration, and so I got to thinking, I need to write a declaration, my own. So I did, and I actually showed you part of it there. So I want to encourage you, just as you enter the new year, to craft your own I wills and I won'ts, right? Make it your own. Don't copy me, but if mine fits, you can tweak it. But these are my I wills, you can see on the bottom there. I'm going to take time to worship daily. Jesus. I want to remind myself that following Jesus is not a hobby, right? This walk with God, it's not like a hobby, right? I mean, fishing is a hobby. Hunting is a hobby, right? Target practice, golf, knitting, quilting, other type things, those are hobbies. Probably playing a guitar is a hobby for most, although for Pastor Bart, it's like the real deal, right? This is your life, right? Playing the piano, it's the real deal. But following Jesus for me, I want to worship the Lord daily, not just here on Sunday. I want to worship the Lord daily because this isn't a hobby. This is a lifestyle change. I didn't grow up. My family, I come from a large clan. We never went to church, ever. Not one time together, ever. But I went. My friend invited me, and I actually got my mom to go once. So I'm just one of those. I'm here because of like Vacation Bible School. I'm one of those kids. I'm here, right? Right on. Keep doing VBS. You reached me. I will guard my marriage each week by connecting and communicating with my wife. And I'm only going to have eyes for her, you know? I'm not going to take a double look at her. I'll take a double look at my wife. I'm just going to be careful with how I look, how I talk, how I engage in conversation. But I'm going to guard my marriage each week. I'm going to take time to tell my wife, you know I love you, right? Because I want her to know I really love you, right? I love you, woman. And she likes to hear it too, by the way. She thinks that's pretty cool. And I mean it. I will work to have a healthy relationship with my kids and their spouses and our grandkids when my grandkids arrive. But it takes time. It takes time to have healthy relationships, you know? So my son did not call me at an opportune time the other day. But it was my son. I picked up, what's up? The D-backs just got a new pitcher. Did you see? No, tell me about it. My son's kind of a nerd, man. He went on for like 20 minutes about, this is why we need him. This is why we had to spend $210 million, Dad. Means popcorn's going up, son. So I'm going to work to have a healthy relationship with my wife, with my kids, grandkids. I want to work to have a healthy relationship with my neighbors, you know? Man, I love my little well-dressed, petite, hobbit-sized Viennese neighbor. She's short, but she loves me. She loves my wife. They have lunch together. Anyway, I go on and on. But my I will nots. Notice there are will nots in Psalm 101. I will not harbor anger or resentment by working to overlook minor offenses when they occur. And I have some scripture there also. You know, if it's, I like Psalm 19:11. You know, somebody says something that just really irritates you. He said, can you overlook it? The Bible's clear. Can you overlook that offense? And I choose in my life to overlook just about every offense. Unless I can't, then I will set an appointment and talk with you. Hey, you said this, and I want to talk with you about that. But I've decided I'm just going to start overlooking stuff, you know? Life's just kind of short, you know? I'm not getting any younger. I've like officially entered into my 60s, right? I mean, I'm old. I know I'm old. It is what it is. So I thought, you know, I'm just going to stop. I'm just going to start overlooking some stuff and not harbor just resentment and anger. And she said this, he said this. Let's just get on with it. I will not live in the past, and I will park it. Forgetting what lies behind, pressing forward what lies ahead, Philippians 3. I don't want to live in the past. I've decided in the past is gone, can't do anything to change the past. I think I'm just going to park it in its space, and I'm going to start moving forward. Does that make sense? It's not easy to do. It's not easy. But I'm going to do my best to go forward in some areas with relational matters, with whatever. I'm just going to park it, and I'm going to move forward. And I think that's one thing we can do as a church. And we want to do that. So, how will you walk in 2025? Man, 2025 is here. How will you walk this year? So I've just shared with you some of my ideas on how I'm walking. I've got about 5 more in each of those categories there. I just shared a few of them. You can figure out your own with that, okay? Consider how you can walk the way of integrity and build trust. Who doesn't trust you? Who doesn't trust you? Think about that. Maybe it's your mom, maybe it's your dad, maybe it's your auntie, maybe it's your aunt. Who doesn't trust you? What can you do to build trust this week? Even today, what can you do to build trust? Jesus is the Savior of slumpers. Why can Jesus be trusted? Well, number one, he fulfills prophecy. He comes from the lineage of David. He lived a perfect life. Jesus is the sinless one. Only the sinless one can take away your sins and the sins of every person on the planet. Jesus died for your sins. He shed his own blood for your sins. His blood covers your sin. He resurrected from the dead. He resurrected. He was not resuscitated, right? My former boss coded. And he was resuscitated and brought back, and God gave him another 10 years of life. But he reminded me, he said, I'm not resurrected yet. I'm resuscitated. I said, that's a good point. That's a good point, right? Jesus, remember, Jesus wasn't resuscitated. He was resurrected with a new body, a glorified body, never to die again. Which proves two things. He is who he claimed to be, the Son of God, and he has the authority, and he's the only one with the authority to forgive you of your sins. Right? He can do it. The Godhead. Jesus can give you new life to walk this way, the way of integrity. Pray with me. Father, you are good to us. You cause your face to shine upon us. And I pray that as we consider walking this way of integrity, even though we know that King David wrote this. He wrote many of the Psalms. He is a spiritual slugger, and yet he also slumped. And we slump as well. Help us to recalibrate and to really develop that declaration of I will. I will what and I will not. Help us to develop our list for 2025. Help us to work on it. Help us to move forward. Help us to build trust in our relationships. Help us to build trust, Lord. Help us to take the initiative to build that trust. It's not easy. And I know that. But help us to work. Help us to pray better, to work at it. And we leave that up to you. And if there's any here that haven't trusted in Christ today, that they would consider the one who died for them and who was resurrected from the dead and can forgive them of their sin and give them new life. It's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today for Faith Point. Reach us online at firstsouthernpv.org or stop by to worship with us if you are in the Prescott Valley area. May God richly bless you today as you allow your faith to intersect with your life.